the next film is an alternate Joker story.
Gotham has descended into purge-like condition.
Chaos and order are two parts of humanity, but maybe there's a greater evil of Lex Luthor.
That's going to destroy everything.
Welcome back to New Rockstars. I'm Philip Molina. This is Rogue Theory. You can't hear anything that was just said here. Instead, we're talking about Joaquin Phoenix's Joker and how we know it inspired a lot of other Jokers, but how's it going to inspire the Jokers over at Warner Brothers?
Oh, also, Lord H.J.
A lot of these people have some really interesting theories on it. Real quick, speaking of theories from the show, but not DC, Marvel theories, we're going to be live at LA Comic Con this Saturday. Woo! What's the date on that?
The 13th, 12th?
The 12th at 3 p.m., I think.
Yes.
And just look us up on the LA Comic Con page. And our panel will be there throwing out some rogue theories about what's actually going to happen in the MCU for Phase 4 and 5, which kind of feels like they're not telling us what the real big bad is going to be. So we'll get into it then. But on today's episode, we have Eric Voss.
Yeah!
Eric Faust's biggest fan, Dan Torsen.
Yeah!
As a comedian.
So happy to be with
this. And then Marina Masters is back.
It's funny because we're on the same team.
I was going to say, they don't know that you know her.
That's true.
On this episode, we're going to make some final Rogue predictions about also the Breaking Bad movie, El Camino, before its release. Real quick, last week, Zach Huddleston, off-screen producer, got the most answers right about what was going to happen in the Joker movie, and thus we're forced to look at this weekly until he gets dethroned by the predictions about El Camino this week. Guys, Joker made a ton of money last weekend, and there's already awards talk. It's also having like a reverse Last Jedi whole thing in the cultural discourse happening, so there's a lot of buzz going on about this, but basically that means that they have a hit on their hands. Joker is inspiring the people at DC and at Warner Brothers a lot. There's obviously a lot of people are saying, no, this movie's not going to have a sequel, but it could, right? They've changed their minds a lot, but also
people have changed their minds before.
And especially about the way that they're approaching their cinematic universe, because they've probably been looking for a new solution. So I want to hear theories, rogue theories, on how the release and success of Joker is going to affect the DC cinematic universe, whatever they call it, the DICU.
So, I think they call it that.
Yeah, I think that's a general term. My theory is, I'm calling this a Joker multiple choice. And I'm going to explain what this means. So
I think leave it at that.
Just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Drop the mic. I almost said mic the drop. The idea I had was, fans of the Joker know that this movie is borrowing very much from Alan Moore's The Killing Joke graphic novel, which famously depicts the Joker in an origin story as a failed comedian. But the line that everyone remembers is the Joker saying, if I'm going to have a past, I prefer it to be multiple choice. And a brief spoiler warning, if you have not seen Joker yet, but I'm not going to say everything that happens in this movie. It ends with this kind of open-ended scene that suggests that everything that we've seen in this movie might be from an unreliable narrator, might be fiction that the Joker or this character, this mentally ill person, is presenting as his kind of wish fulfillment story. So what if the next film, imagine a trailer that goes back to that Arkham Asylum or Arkham State Hospital scene where the psychiatrist goes, yeah, but that was all bullshit, right? And he goes, yeah, it was a joke. You wouldn't get it. But what about this? And then the next film is an alternate Joker story, an alternate Joker origin story that is completely different. Not
it
Arthur
starts
Fleck.
Starts at the beginning?
Entirely new name. Starts at the beginning. Completely
but
different
still
background.
Still Joaquin Phoenix?
Still Joaquin Phoenix. But let's say in
what?
This one.
Same actor?
Same actor. Instead of a
Zach
struggling
Banatos.
Comic.
Yeah. What's his name now?
What if he is a returning vet from the battlefront,
and
he's struggling to get the help that he needs. Society has abandoned him, as society has abandoned a lot of our vets. And he's now applying his war experiences to urban life. The way that many people believe Heath Ledger's Joker, the way he got his scars, was from an IED or something like that.
He tried to eat one.
You shouldn't eat those. You shouldn't eat those. But the idea, so that would be the next movies. We see an entirely new Joker multiple choice selection. So multiple choice option A was what we just saw with Arthur Fleck. Multiple choice option B would be some other Batman actor changes to a name like Cody Bale. But the idea, so that would be the next movies. We see an entirely new Joker multiple choice selection. So multiple choice option A was what we just saw with Arthur Fleck. Multiple choice option B would be some other Batman actor changes to a name like Cody Bale, you know, like C. Bale, Christian Bale, you know, instead of Affleck. So the third one could be some other possible Joker apocryphal fiction, right? Like another story that Heath Ledger's character told, like his wife was a gambling addict and then he carved up his face to make her feel less bad. And that's the story that we see. Yeah. He's going to all be based on other Scorsese movies instead of Taxi Driver and The King of Comedy. It could be a gangland tale. Like
you're essentially pitching like the what is it? Schrodinger's cat. Of Joker origin is stories,
Joker
right?
In the box.
Yeah, it is both alive. Right, Joker is both alive and dead. Because it doesn't matter until we open the box. Mm-hmm. But that box of Joker will always stay closed.
Significantly rogue.
That's
theory.
Very good. Yeah, that. I like that.
What I will say is, terrible stakes for every other Joker movie, where they're like, "Well, none of this is real. It's all the
totally agreed." But I think
all movies are.
What I can imagine Todd Phillips saying is like, "Listen, the character of the Joker is unique in that we do not ever know definitively what his origin is, and by ending his movie that way, maybe he wants to tell a series of films to prove that point and drive it home for everyone who knows about what the Joker is."
And the best argument for that being the truth is what you said at the beginning. He purposely left it open for you to wonder, wait, what here was real?
Right.
So you could just double down on that.
Yeah, so you got three Joker movies that you can put Joker option B or Joker returning home from war or Joker War Haunted or something like that. Mm-hmm. Those are the next couple movies that they could do with this Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
And they're arguably not sequels.
Yes, like, they're not. They're not.
Because they said they wouldn't.
Hollywood Reporter's like, it's a sequel. But everyone else would be like, no, it's a new alternate.
Podcast listeners, you might not be surprised to learn, Eric earned a Rogie.
Oh, yeah.
A single Rogie. We should add a sound effect. A horrible sound effect. Dan, what do you got?
Hey, guys.
Oh, my God.
I think that this is obviously right for a sequel, even though that's clearly stated that they don't want to.
I agree,
The money is there. The tone is there. DC has found that dark tone that really grounds it in a way that whether you liked the film or not, I think it's like easy to say that it was like, it's that tone that I don't think that DC has hit very well.
It's very watchable.
Yeah, it's very watchable.
It didn't feel like 2 hours.
But watchable.
Yeah, polarizing, but watchable.
It's also like actor bait. I think anybody could see it as character
totally,
study. You know, I would want to be part of that universe as an actor. Like, oh my gosh, you get so much free reign to really explore the humanity of every character. We don't have a lot of superpowers or anything like that yet, but obviously that grounds it. But that'd be an interesting thing to take on. Like, I kind of digress with that. But yeah, I think it's very ripe for a sequel. My thought is that we'll turn into a trilogy of its own. A Nolan-esque kind of trilogy.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love Nolan-esque.
These are all Nolan-esque.
We get the idea that now Joker's kind of the hero and Batman's more of the anti-hero. I think from the implications of...
Definitely economically speaking.
Bruce Wayne's father, Thomas Wayne, and like how he affected the Joker's life, whether you believe that he's Joker's father or not. I don't know if we can say that. Yeah. But like that definitely has far-reaching implications. And his like economic stranglehold on the city. I mean, people were so willing to rise up in the Joker movies. Like three murders, which are probably not that uncommon in a city like that, inspired people to go crazy.
Well, and that was probably part of the point to them was how many people die in our city every day, but three wealthy white boys die.
Right, exactly.
And let's not forget, it was Thomas Wayne going on the news and saying, they're part of my family. Yes. And the people who did it are clowns because they're poor.
So anyone who's not
everyone off.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So the state of Gotham is certainly filled with tension.
I think that's the thread that you pull. I think that's the heart of it, is that it's following that political thread that people, I think, resonated or didn't like resonate. You know, polarized people, whether you feel like kind of left out, like Occupy Wall Street or something like that, you know, like continuing to understand, like, why was he ever necessary? Why is the city so full of crime to begin with? Like, why is someone like Batman necessary other than, like, economically? Is it Wayne Enterprises that's really, you know...
Has a monopoly, maybe?
Yeah, taking over everything in a way that makes people push back. Just like in the Nolan series... You know, Batman sort of creates Joker with his theatricality.
Right.
I think the reverse could be true in this world where Joker creates Batman.
Yeah. You
know, there's a vacuum there that needs to be filled. And then the third one, just to go even further, you know, I think there's a third villain where we get a Joker-Batman team-up. Those two come together. We get chaos. We get order. And
Joker-Batman team-up?
Two sides of the same coin.
I mean, it is pretty rogue. Why do they team up?
some third villain, I think, that represents like an inhumane aspect or something like that. Like, chaos and order are two parts of humanity, but maybe there's a greater evil of a Lex
Luthor
type.
That's
going to
destroy everything, yeah.
That's like, yeah, destructive in its like complete...
Because the Joker needs like affirmation, and he needs like the, like he's dancing on the, you know, but he's dancing on the car at the end, and it's like he finally has what he wants. And if those people go away, like if that chaos goes away, like he goes away, right?
Yeah,
so
for
like
sure.
both of them would be like, no, we need to keep things not the way they are, but at least here. I could see that team up.
Well, what's really interesting about it being a team up against Lex Luthor is that obviously, you know, you were saying the Occupy Wall Street thing, and that's what the Joker is representing, is the populist movement of we got to take down the rich guy. But then they did, right? Thomas Wayne is no longer relevant after this movie. And then if Bruce Wayne were to theoretically take over, but we all know Bruce Wayne doesn't go do that. He hangs out with Liam Neeson instead.
Right.
So there's a vacuum in terms of the wealthy, the face of, you know, the haves, and who better than Lex Luthor, who is basically evil Wayne Corp with his Lex Corp. So he introduces another like class warfare kind of thing. But then it is interesting if Batman is back, you know, Batman's not siding with a Lex Luthor type. But him siding with an Arthur Fleck type is also pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I guess he's a kid.
But it's necessary. Yeah. Well, also, yeah, he knows him already.
Also, well, does he just know him, or are they brothers?
Well, right.
I think they're brothers. I don't know if we have speculations on that, but I
think
they're
pretty sure. Aren't we all brothers and sisters?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Please don't.
So, honestly, they might have some of the same crazy gene.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because they have the same dad with his twisted, weird sperm.
Is the crazy gene Gene twisted Hackman, Lex Luthor, coming back for a cameo?
Oh, the supercut of him just laughing maniacally. I've ever seen it's fantastic. Just him. Look it up.
Dan, it took a while for you to get to, but...
Thanks.
I think it's worth two Rogues.
All right, thank you.
Both of those were crazy. In general, everything you said was crazy, but then specifically also a Batman Joker team up movie.
That's rogue.
It's not something
pretty crazy. Pretty rogue.
Yeah. Pretty rogue.
Yeah.
It's out there.
My turn. So, everybody who, or well, some people who know me know that I love horror. So this goes into that realm of things.
Horror.
Yes, me too. It's so great, and it's Halloween time, you guys. Mm. The Joker. Basically, the plot of this movie is that it's the Purge. Okay, so it's immediately after the Joker ends. Maybe like a couple days or months later, but basically Gotham has descended into purge-like conditions, okay? And Joker, like, has his attention. He has what he wants. He doesn't need to be the star of this. Joaquin Phoenix can be in it if he wants, but he's not going to get another Oscar, so he probably doesn't care. So this is about... Sorry, too real. Yeah, so this is about the way that all the other villains come to be. It's all of their origin stories, okay? And I'll give you a pitch for two of them and then a new hero. So just like in The Purge, you follow one like little family, or there's a bunch of purges, but you follow
one. Have you also seen all the Purge movies?
Yes, of course. Of course, of course, of course. In theaters, yes, I have.
That and the Blair Witches.
Yes, I have.
And
Paranormal Activity.
And Paranormal
Yes,
Activity.
I've seen all those too.
They're all great.
Yeah, they're great.
How many Blair Witches are there?
Enough to keep me out of the woods.
What was I talking about? You led me into the
Eric's
woods.
Tongue.
Oh yeah. Okay. So just so like the Purge movies, you follow one good cop, right? He's trying to protect this little like group of people, or like one family, or one like group of teenagers, or whatever. So this movie follows Harvey Dent, okay?
Ooh.
But this is obviously a different Harvey Dent. So Harvey Dent. Like in Joker. So in Joker, they reference that he was, a spoiler or whatever, tied to a radiator as a child by his mother's boyfriend, who was abusive at the time when he was like maybe 8 or 9 or something. And so this, in my mind, like this sort of, because the social services has been cut and, you know, it's people are not, I mean, this still happens now, but like when you call the police for help with domestic violence, it's very hard to prosecute. So Harvey Dent is a lawyer who was abused as a kid, and he goes into public service because of that. So his face is messed up already. It's not at the end of his life. It's at the beginning of his life.
Oh, interesting.
So he was tied to a radiator as a kid, and his face is messed up. Yes. And so half of his face, because those things actually really do get hot if you're like in New York and they have those old ones. Like I've definitely burned myself on those. So he was abused by someone as a kid, and he has half of his face messed up, and that's from childhood. And It's the opposite of what normally happens. So people are pretty, people are good looking, and people are nice to them. And so this guy is a good kid, but he has a messed up face. So everyone treats him as if he's a bad guy. People think he's a criminal. Mm. People think he's like a bad lawyer. So he grows up and he becomes a public defender. He's not the district attorney. He's just an overworked public defender. He's trying to do good for the people. And he's an adult and he's existing in this purge reality that the Joker has set off, right? So we follow him through the course of this movie, like just trying to make it, just trying to keep...
He's our protagonist,
right? And so we just try to stay with him, to keep himself alive, and he's trying to protect people along the way, whether it's his clients or people he runs into, whatever. So, but also, so that's our main character, but also we also see the rise of Penguin, okay, who is a one percenter, right?
Yeah, yeah. Couple pots.
Old money.
That name is so funny. Yeah. So he is a one percenter, and we see his rise, right? And so he's one of these guys who is, escape pod capitalism or escape hatch capitalism.
Define.
Which that exists now, which is like people, very, very rich people now who know that global warming is happening and the earth is ending. And so they're buying yachts, they're buying like underground bunkers, and they're like buying islands so that they can literally, when the oceans rise, like.
Eric, are you doing that?
No,
you are now.
Don't.
We could pull all of our.
All your secrets out.
They're gonna find my arc.
He's not doing it the normal way. He's doing it
with a bunch of exotic animals.
Noah is the original escape pod.
That's right. That's right. He had insider trading info from God. Yeah. So he is an escape pod capitalist. So he's been preparing for this, and he thought it was going to be global warming, right? But he's the Penguin, so it ends up being this purge-like atmosphere. So he's been preparing. He has like guns. He has private security forces because he's super rich, and they're
dressed like penguins.
They're 100%
because the ice caps are melting. Right. They bring
in penguins as part of their lethal force, and they take over the city. Well, now that is part of my theory, but yeah,
polar bears too.
Yeah, exactly.
Eric got a quarter.
No, that's mine.
Bonus. Yum, yum,
well, you still obviously stole it from Eric.
All right, fine. So there's penguins everywhere, right, guys? But he comes to power, and we see him go from just a rich guy to basically participating in the purge, becoming a supervillain through his money and through private security, and just like essentially being free to wreak havoc as part of the purge. The other character we're going to see become a bad guy is Scarecrow, right? But he's in Arkham Asylum or mental hospital or general hospital, whatever it is. He's working at the same time as, I don't know her name, but the psychiatrist.
Yeah, I don't think we get her name. We know we the don't one get her name. Story yeah. is Deborah Kane.
Not the one when he's outside of the asylum, yeah, but the one that he's inside the asylum with. So it's implied that he at least murders her or attempts to murder her. enough the blood is down the hallway. And so he's working in the same time. Like he sees that trauma, right? Like his coworker gets murdered essentially in front of him, right? He just gives up and starts letting people out. Right. He gives up. He starts participating in the purge. And we see Scarecrow go from stable psychiatrist, psychologist to this is too much for me. And we see him go start participating in, hatchet murders or whatever you want.
You know what I like there with the so he's working at Arkham when that final scene in Joker takes place and theoretically murders happen is, I mean, I'm going to stretch it, but there's the thematic potentially relevant moment of he's in his office or something, or he opens his door and he sees Joker's bloody footsteps and he decides to follow him.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's love great. That. Yeah. That's very good. Yeah.
that's what I meant.
And he's German.
He up each what is this? Where does this go?
Where does this go? Like,
no, I did not mean E.T.
Exactly like E.T. in Reese's Pieces.
Good, nice.
A Rogie awarded to Marina for God. Falls, a great sequel, nice. Crossover.
Yes,
maybe?
Yeah, I'd watch it.
Love it.
All right, let me just hear him again real quick so I remember, and then I'll ward out any additional rogues that your tweet version deserves. So starting with Eric again.
All right, Joker multiple choice. Every story of the Joker's origin is a lie.
Okay, gotcha. Great.
Yeah. It had some weird punctuation.
Colon, colon. Every time.
You didn't want to use Schrodinger's
every
Joker?
Colon story?
Yeah.
I paused for a gasp.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, I always leave spaces in my tweets for gasps.
Yeah. Passive gasp. Yeah.
I guess mine boiled down would be Joker hero Nolan-esque trilogy.
Okay, you're allowed to use other words in tweets. Like,
I don't just, have
what's
a
your hashtag? What's your hashtag?
Reddit, rather than doubling your characters, they halved it for you.
Yeah.
Hashtag Joker be good?
Oh, yeah. This one's going to be a hit.
Joker be good.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say, yeah. Got it.
Yeah, this. Thank you for laughing what I said before you understood what I said.
You're the host.
That's the only reason does that. Yeah.
You told me to laugh at everything you said
that's true.
Before this.
In a tweet.
Joker 2, : the purgeoning. And hashtag Joker's not in this.
I love that you said the purgeoning. The purge is already a noun. You don't have to like.
Yeah, but it can't for copyright purposes. It can't be the purge.
Oh, sure.
Universal so it has versus to be, Warner. That's right. It has to be
the purge or something.
The purge. It's P-E-U-R. It's
Swedish,
French.
It's Swedish purge.
It has an umlaut over the top.
Because the you said purgeoning, I was going to take away a point from you, but you only have one. So
it's purgeoning.
I'll leave it. The purgeoning. All right. Let us know in the comments if any of those got you excited for what could happen, or if you hated all of it, you can also let us know. Just make sure to tweet at the person directly. But whoever by the end of the episode ends up with the most roguies gets their wish to come true. I have their wishes here. But also we're going to get to what we think is really going to happen with that El Camino movie that they're being so vague about right after we thank our sponsors.
This episode of New Rockstar's Rogue Theory was sponsored by Keeps. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. The good news? With today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get medication delivered to your home. No more waiting rooms and no more pharmacy checkout lines. Get doctor attention and discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you are ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/rockstars to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/rockstars.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Okay, El Camino, the Breaking Bad sequel, debuts this week on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yes.
That means that this is our last time to be able to talk about it before we know what actually happens in it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of questions circling. What is the truth of what we find Jesse in? Who else is going to show up? All kinds of questions. So we pushed our questions on you guys. You guys have some answers that you've thought out.
Yes.
You're going to be wagering pretty heavily on this. If you win, you get to replace off-screen producer Zach Huddleston.
Ooh.
His headshot on the back there. Podcast listeners, it's horrifying. You get to go up there if you get the most right. And then did we come up with what happens if you're the worst?
Oh, no.
You're just fired. About positive reinforcement.
Yeah. You're fired happily.
All right. You're released.
Yeah. You're right. Free.
Question number one. Does Jesse survive?
Survive the movie El Camino?
Yes.
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 That's my answer, yes.
Great, all right.
I'm very. Do I keep to one word? Yes or no? I'm very
no,
split on
no
this.
There's no reason for Marina to keep it as short as she just
I'm very excited.
Yes, he dies. I'm going to say it's incredibly meaningful. He goes out on his own terms.
Boo.
I feel like he is the antithesis of Walter White. Walter White started good and really became bad.
Yes.
And Jesse started bad and is going to become good. And I think, you know, we could even get a similar death that mirrors Walter's, but that is... ultimately has consequences that are like far more far-reaching in the positive than
in
the negative.
His death solves cancer.
His death it does.
Solves
cancer.
It solves it. Doesn't cure it.
It was a mystery.
Why.
Yeah.
Why?
The mystery of cancer. Yeah, I think it's something along those lines. But I...
That's
for that
good,
reason,
but I just hate it. That's good.
I get
that's
it.
Very
I
good.
Get
I just hate it.
But
it.
I just
yeah.
hate
it. Like,
I hate it. Yeah. So I can't support it.
So I'm going to say yes, he dies.
Okay, the question was, does he survive? But you keep saying, yes, he dies.
Yes, he dies.
To answer your question directly...
He's framing it as a good thing.
He dies.
As a positive thing. I think Jesse absolutely survives.
Yes, thank you.
There's no way they're going to kill him off because he has suffered so much.
I do agree with that.
And, in fact, watching the El Camino trailer, it feels like there's even some, like, Christ resurrection imagery with Jesse Pinkman. Like, there's, like, his disciples who he returns to, and they're like, wait, what? He's, like, washing his body off. He has, like, whip marks on his back as if he's,
but
like,
but how
Christ's
does that
body.
Story end for Christ?
Yeah, exactly.
He ascends.
How is Jesse Pinkman going to do it? An elevator?
I think, you don't die again when you ascend. Yeah. You move on. You're already in the spiritual form, and you just ascend off into a sunset, not a death. Like, he goes off into his paradise, which for him is Mexico, or wherever it is. You know, I don't think he's going to die. I think he has some other kind of unfinished business. See him as a ghost in the story. Maybe his arc is already complete, but he has this kind of form of afterlife where he still has unfinished business that he's got to close the book on before we say goodbye to him.
Yes.
Yeah. He sounds very dead in a lot of the things he said. You call him a ghost. Yeah.
You can call him already dead. Yeah. You could say that like seeing Andrea die in a way was like the death of his heart.
Sure.
And he, at that point, he just has like more to do.
Marina just had a stroke.
I want to change my answer. Okay, he makes everybody thinks he dies.
Ooh.
And then he's free forever. Like he doesn't.
McBride and Eastbound Down.
Yes.
Gotcha. So he fakes his own death.
Yeah.
Who, great. Like two episodes later, is back alive.
Speaking of possibly fake deaths, is Walter White actually dead, or might he be alive and might he come back in this movie?
I'm gonna say he is still alive. I know.
Really?
I think he's dead. But the only reason I for certain when I watch that finale, the guy's dead. It's gonna be crazy if he doesn't die there. But somebody did email us. They went to New York Comic Con and they saw this corkboard with a bunch of yarn, and it's like the crime investigation. They have all of like Jack Welker's people. They have Jesse Pinkman's mugshot, and under all the people who died in the finale, it says deceased under them. It does not say deceased under Walter White, a.k.a. Heisenberg.
Wow. Ooh.
And this is a significant amount of time later, so it's not like they don't know.
I speculated in one of the videos that we did on it that, like, you know, a film theorist, I think, did a whole thing how, like, you see the APB person touch his pulse.
Right.
And, like, oh, if you were shot there, having, like, there's no
survivable.
Exit wound.
Yeah.
And if you had cancer at the time, that might cause your blood to clot. More likely than if he didn't. There's like studies that say that Walt could have survived. I don't know if that's the case, but I think it would be very interesting if he did survive and the cops try to keep him alive so that they could prosecute him and throw him behind bars and push him to rot in prison the way Hank wanted him to.
Yeah.
So you kind of went a couple different ways, but mostly you're saying he's back.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he's alive.
Wow.
Great. All right. What do you think, Dan?
Alive, maybe, but barely alive, maybe just kept... I could see the first scene in that instance being, like, cutting right back to that part where they're pulling him off the ground. They're going, like, he's barely with us, taking him to the ambulance, taking him to the hospital. I personally think he's going to stay dead. I think that won't happen. I think narratively, it's a decisive death. It's meaningful. I think we can show his impact on the characters and the story through flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I love Walter White. I want to see him alive again, but I think that would cheapen, that would tamper with retcon a little bit too much.
It's perfect the way it is.
A pretty perfect TV show.
But you think he might be in a coma.
Well, I was just saying that off of Eric's idea more than anything. I think that he does die.
Yes, he's not alive.
Yes, he's not alive. He does not survive.
Yes, he's not alive.
Yeah, so I think he's dead.
He's dead because it's perfect. End of story. Goodbye forever.
Great.
All right, guys, what is the final scene of the movie? You can go final shot if you want, or you can go final scene.
I'll go with final shot. So I think Jesse in the third act will make it back to the neo-Nazi meth compound. And I think as part of dismantling Walt's legacy, will blow up this lab. And then the last thing we'll see is like Inglourious Basterds swastika burning.
That's great. That's great.
I love that.
Cool.
I think it will be a similar pulling away shot where Jesse's down on the ground. I also like to imagine he's overdosed. Oh. No, not that he goes back. Not that he goes back.
Wait. Give like, him a chance. Overdose on what? Candy?
Like
stomachache? Thank you, Philip. Yeah. Thank you for not jumping to a glue. Yeah. No, on blue candy meth, not candy meth, but as a way of being like, yes, I'm blowing something up or I'm doing something. I'm about to die. I'm going to kind of be close to my ex-girlfriend the way that she went out. And knowing that you're going to die anyway. Mm-hmm. So like, might as well go out feeling high on meth.
Oh, you mean Jane.
Yeah, Jane.
That's an interesting thing. Just that Jesse will return to drugs in this movie. You think, but you also think he'll die at the end, fade away, and join rabid dog mouth Jane in their Canadian heaven.
They meet up in Ghost New Zealand.
Yeah. And then Marina, what do you think the final scene is?
Okay, so drives. So you think it's going to end the exact same way as El Camino, or I mean, Breaking Bad, where he's driving away, but except he's driving into Canada, right? Mm-hmm. Cuts to black, and you're like, oh, okay, this is the end of the movie. Great, and then it comes back. We follow a guy, just like some guy, some character we don't know yet, into the snow in Canada. He finds a cabin in the woods, does a special knock. Old Jesse opens the door.
Old Jesse.
This character that has been introduced hands him a wad of cash, and he hands him blue meth. And that's the end.
So he brought it to Canada.
But it's in Canada, and he's the only one who knows how to do it, and he doesn't, like, he still, it's the only skill he has. So he has to go back to it, but he lives a life of peace and solitude, and he only lets this one guy deal, and that's the way it is.
And meanwhile, there's some addicts in Vancouver. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, there's no advancements.
Yeah.
No, but they have great healthcare.
Drug delivery is still, you knock on a door, get handed a baggie. There's no drones or anything.
Yeah.
Finally, I just want to ask, how many times are we going to hear Jesse Pinkman say bitch in this movie?
I think once. I think at one time. One time, it's going to be his final line. It's going to be like, burn, bitch.
27. Yeah. It's going to be like, I'm skipping you. It's 27 because it's like, remember when 24 was on TV and Kiefer Sutherland found out that people would do drinking games from him saying, there's no time, right? It's like that. But Jesse Pinkman, the actor, knows that people are doing drinking games on Netflix. So he's going to work in a lot of.
Dan, how many times?
I would say, I think it's going to be the rule of threes. I think we're going to get like a soft one. I think we're going to get one that's like, soft bitch. I think we're going to get one that's like, kind of like an offhanded one. He's not calling someone a bitch, but he's like, man, life's a bitch or something. Yeah. And then, it's going to be
when he's like,
a
magnets, bitch. Like,
and we'll do Price is Right rules, closest without going over.
Oh, so, dang it.
It's okay, you're just 27. So, okay, cool. So that's those are our Breaking Bad questions. I don't have to award Rogies there, but I'm going to give Marina one.
Yay!
Because she gave us so much movie.
There's a Wolverine tie in there, too. Just the person who knocks his adamantium claws.
Stabs the door.
Canadian wilderness.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're right.
Secret. Blue meth.
Yeah. All right, guys. So we're going to dive into our last segment here. It's going to be rogue questions. Rogues are up for grabs. It could totally change the point total. Everything could change. Okay. Remember that the winner at the end of this with the most rogues gets their wish to come true.
Yes.
All right. And I'm sure they're selfish wishes and nothing that we can't make happen on this show. It came out this week that Jared Leto was upset to be left out of the Joker.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Does he know that he isn't the lead in it?
Yeah, what's wrong with him?
So what do we need to do to make it up to Jared Leto?
Nothing.
Mail him some of our shit.
Mail him some dead cat or like used condoms. Wasn't that one of them?
I think so.
Ooh.
Yeah. Marina, you get another one for not bringing up the gross thing that I totally forgot about Jared Leto. Guys, a new Spider-Man ride being built at Disneyland will supposedly let guests shoot webs out of their wrists. What's the best use of wrist webs while you're at Disneyland? Disneyland.
It's when you're like at the back of the line, but you know how it loops around and you can see the front of the line? You grab the person in the front of the line, you switch yourself so you are actually in the front of the line. Yeah. And then it's so fast that nobody sees you.
And you definitely snapped her neck. You're Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
These are the full high density wiring webs. Oh boy. I would say just messing with the characters, you know? Gotta mess with those characters.
Just around the park.
Just messing,
just messing all over them.
Pulling their heads off?
Yeah, just another obstacle for those poor, poor characters in their suits. Just like webbing their legs and eyes.
You're the worst.
I mean, it's just like silly strings. It's like silly string. Oh, they're gonna hate
I
that.
I think you use it to break out of Disney jail. Like the guards walk by with the keys.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I'm assuming we all end up in Disney jail.
Yeah.
We've all been to Disney jail.
Yeah. Who hasn't?
Disney whale. Guys, the real supervillain of Joker was the Super Rats. I'm glad we're talking about this finally, because I want to know, what powers does a super rat have?
Like deliver pizza to any... Oh, sorry.
teaches karate to
turtles.
There
you go.
Eric's reference was nerdy. Fresh Rogi. And that's the third one.
Yay! Great.
What are your totals?
Three.
Two and three eighths.
Did I win?
Three.
Nice.
All right. So Eric, gone. Dan, I'm so sorry for your family.
Ooh, I win.
And Marina, wish Dan has to dance for the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So
it would be different if his name wasn't Dan.
What?
It's in the name.
Dan Dance.
Dan Dance.
Dan performed the Dance for the rest of the episode.
I'll do the dance from Joker.
Great.
Oh yeah.
All right. So that's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. Thanks so much for going rogue with us. Thanks to our guests, Eric Voss, Marina Matchos, and Dan Torsen. Dan, where can we find you?
You really have to look, but you could find me UCB in Los Angeles, Mondays usually.
What's your Herald team name?
My Herald team's name is Joyride.
There you go, Joyride. Joyride at UCB.
Joyride at UCB. Eric, what do we got coming out?
We got some more takes on things you might have missed in The Joker, specifically with Thomas Wayne's character. And again, come to LA Comic Con if you live in the LA area this Saturday the 12th at 3 p.m. And if you're in the LA area, if you can't make it to that, I'm doing a play Thursday, Friday, and Saturday called Slaughter in the Swampland. Find me on Twitter.
Yay, good job, Eric.
Marina, you got anything?
I'm on Twitter at Marina Mastros.
Great. Yay. Guys, make sure to get this feed on podcast first so that you can hear this disgusting dance flopping all over the place. This is not the Joker dance.
It's close.
This is worse.
It is worse.
It's definitely more psychopathic. Also, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Bella Molina, and follow New Rockstars at New Rockstars. Guys, support us on Patreon too. It really helps a lot. Thank you guys so much. Keep dancing.
Yay.
Thanks, guys.
Yay.
With web shooters.
You like it.
You like it.